Welcome, great patriotic friends, to October 1st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and on this show, I cover a lot of ground very quickly, so have your pencils ready. Or, better yet, just listen to the podcast again if you miss something. I do it all the time. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. And now moving on to today's headlines. We'll wish a happy birthday to Jimmy Carter. The beginning of the People's Republic of China and how that affected the U.S. Also, Tom Clancy passes away. And I'll talk about the thriller in Manila. All right, so now here I go. 1924. Happy birthday, Jimmy Carter. James Earl Carter was born October 1st, 1924, in Plains, Georgia, the only U.S. president from Georgia. His parents were strict Baptists, and his dad owned a large and very prosperous peanut farm that survived the Great Depression. Jimmy's fondest memories growing up include sitting with his dad listening to politics and baseball games on the radio. He graduated from the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, where he studied nuclear physics, and shortly thereafter, married Rosalind Smith, who is also from Plains. The Carters have three sons, Jack, Chip, and Jeff, and a daughter named Amy Lynn. His father passed away, and Jimmy moved his family back to Plains to be with his mother and take over the farm. He entered state politics in 1962 as a staunch anti-segregationist, but the Democrat Party of the Old South rejected his views, so Jimmy softened his tone for the 1970 election for governor of Georgia, which he won. Jimmy Carter, this new young politician from the South, made the cover of Time magazine, emphasizing modest racial views, social policies, and efficiency in government. In 1976, he ran for president with Walter Mondale as his running mate and beat out Gerald Ford. As president, Carter worked on a long-range energy program, expanded the national park system, including protection of 103 million acres in Alaska, increased human and social services, created the Department of Education, strengthened the Social Security system, and appointed a relatively high number of women and other minorities to government jobs. Jimmy's kids went to public school. Little Amy Carter, now 9 years old, had a treehouse on the White House grounds. For a school project once, she labeled the trees their common and Latin names, and from there, President Carter officially kept them labeled. So, if you ever visit the White House, check it out. In foreign affairs at the Camp David Accords of 1978, he met with Egyptian President Anwar el-Sadat and Prime Minister of Israel Menachem Begin. This helped end war between Egypt and Israel. In addition, Carter succeeded in obtaining ratification of the Panama Canal treaties. However, his foreign policy had some serious setbacks. The Soviet invasion of Afghanistan caused the suspension of plans for ratification of the SALT II nuclear limitation treaty with the Russians. The toughness of Cousin Hot's leadership skills were questioned by many Americans, especially after the Iran hostage crisis. The seizure of hostages and the U.S. embassy staff by radical Iranian students ruled the news during the last 14 months of his administration. Cousin Hot Carter's inability to negotiate with the terrorists, not to mention a botched recovery mission, coupled with continuing inflation domestically, contributed to Carter's crushing defeat in the 1980 election to Ronald Reagan. The Iranian terrorists finally released the 52 Americans the same day Carter left office. Since then, the peanut farmer has supported the Habitat for Humanity, which builds homes for the poor. Happy birthday, Jimmy! 1949. New York Times headlines. Mao heads Peiping regime. Since the 1930s, Mao Zedong and his army attempted to control China through the teachings of Marxism. In the early 1920s, The nationalist group Kuomintang, led by Chiang Kai-shek, fought Zedong for control and forced him to retreat his Chinese Communist army some 8,000 miles on foot, a journey that took over a year. The nationalists and communists held a ceasefire during China's war with Japan, but as soon as World War II was over, they were back to duking it out, and the Chinese Communist Party, or the CCP, would emerge victorious, and the very next day in 1949, the People's Republic of China was created. The domino effect, as President Eisenhower would call it, had begun, and the USSR now had a communist buddy in the East. But China wasn't exactly on great terms with the USSR, as they had their own version of communism. And then China got hit with floods and famine and millions of Chinese dead. And then, throughout the 60s, the Chinese had a cultural revolution, but this isn't a Chinese history show, it's an American history show. In 1972, President Richard Nixon would meet with Zedong in an historic meeting in Beijing. He would be the first American president to ever visit China in what he called the week that changed the world. Anyway, I get into more of that on my February 21st ep. But for now, Zedong had defeated the nationalists, and communism had taken over China, exactly what Americans did not want. 2015, Tom Clancy dies. I've read at least two of his books off the top of my head. Clancy's website says 30 years ago, he was a Maryland insurance broker with a passion for naval history. Years before, he had been an English major at Baltimore's Loyola College and had always dreamed of writing a novel. His first effort, The Hunt for Red October, sold quickly as a result of rave reviews, then catapulted onto the New York Times bestsellers list after President Reagan pronounced it the perfect yarn. From that day forward, Clancy established himself as an undisputed master of blending exceptional realism and authenticity, intricate plotting, and razor-sharp suspense. And finally, in sports news, 1975, the thriller in Manila. Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier battled it out for the heavyweight championship of the world in the Philippines. Ali won when Frazier's management threw in the towel after the 14th round. The name came from Ali's love for rhyming, and that the fight would be a, quote, killer and thriller and a chilla when I get that gorilla in Manila. And so that is going to wrap it up, scholars, for October 1st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. Did you send Jimmy Carter a birthday card? It's okay, I didn't either. What about that story of Mao Zedong? I know a lot of people don't necessarily pronounce that name Zedong, but by his proper name, Zedong or something like that. But I speak American, I can't help it. So it's Zedong. Clancy fans, what's your favorite book? Or what about that fight between Ali and Frazier? Check it out on YouTube if you ever get a chance. So yeah, let me know what you think. And don't miss tomorrow's episode. I'll talk about inertial navigation, the American Anti-Slavery Society, the Bill of Rights, and the oldest man to ever climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Hint, he's from St. Louis. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.